Hi everyone, this is Kaori on Flash on Radio. Today is the 18th of February, which means we already finished this month's 16th party. And yeah, today we're gonna have a special guest. I'm so excited to have him because I really wanted to do this for a long time. But, you know, I was in Japan, so I couldn't get any chance to talk to him like this. But today is gonna be a big day for us as well. Well, you will see who it is later. So today's first song is his recommendation, which is called, the band is called Jives, and the song is called Cradle. Enjoy. You're listening to Flash on Radio. That was Jives with Cradle. So now we're gonna introduce this guy, my favorite guy, Tom Smith from JPU Record. Welcome.
Hello.
Good to be here.
Hiya!
Hello, long time no see.
Yeah, long time no see. Good to see you too. How are you feeling?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Coming to South London for like the second time in my whole life, so pretty weird for like a Londoner to say that, but yeah. And good to see you too. I think last time I saw you was New Year's last year.
Was it
2014 New Year's? I think.
Was it?
In Tokyo. Or maybe it was after.
No, it was October, wasn't it? Yeah, October.
Forgot about the time. Yeah, sorry. My memory's terrible.
We went to Workaholics together.
That's right, we're friends.
Yeah. That was really fun.
And an Australian band turned up.
Yeah, exactly. Awaken Neon, yeah.
Yep.
Right, so thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
And yeah, finally we have you now here.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. So, you know, like most of people know about you if they like Japanese culture or Japanese music in London, I mean.
Oh, yeah, seem to be.
So you're very famous. But just in case, I just want you to introduce yourself first, please.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I'm Tom Smith. I run a record label called JP Records. And this is probably one of the biggest labels in Europe for Japanese music. So we've got bands like Scandal, The Gazette, Ringtoshite, Sugade, Poly6, even Denpagumi. Wow. And recently we just signed a band called Femme and got Scandal's new album coming out and got working on some new stuff as well. So yeah, it was pretty busy.
Yeah, I know, you're always busy. So yeah, but like, I mean, like, yeah, this is great because finally I could have you here and we can talk probably about the music scene, the Japanese music scene, and how is your work?
How is my work?
Yeah.
Like, which aspect of it would you mean? Like,
what is going on now?
Now?
With JP Records.
Oh, now we're just really busy. Trying to get all the new releases done for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, actually, my biggest nightmare is getting Scandal's DVD finished. Because the master is not with Sony. They're doing like a theatrical show of it in South America.
Oh, really?
So it's in like Chile, Peru, Mexico. They're doing some like cinema things. Wow. So I've got to get people in Mexico to make the DVD for me. And they keep doing it wrong. They keep sending it back to again.
So
problems. And it's meant to be done like on Christmas and it's still not finished yet.
So. Oh my God.
Yeah, a little bit of trouble at the moment. But apart from that, everything's going good. So that's coming out in March, I think, with English subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not on the Japanese one, the English subtitles. That's like kind of special for us.
Yeah,
usually when Japanese bands release stuff, they never have subtitles. So we'll get that done. And yeah, it should be fun.
Wow.
A lot of the fans have already like pre-ordered it and like waiting for it to come. So I got a bit of pressure from them. Like, Where is it? But it's coming.
I see, so yeah, seems you're very busy, and now I feel like, yeah, Japanese music industry is getting bigger in this country,
yeah.
Or in Europe.
It seems to be this country, not so much Europe. I think Baby Metal and Cold Rain and
Crossfade
for the reasons for it, yeah. And, maybe ex-Japan.
Yeah.
Trying.
I think it just suddenly happened, like, British people got into like, Japanese music. I don't know. Now we are doing like promoting musicians here as a Fry Jam, but you've started that before us and then it's getting bigger and bigger. So how do you feel about that? Do you think more like people are interested in Japanese music or culture?
I think they're interested in certain bits. So you get the Baby Metal fans, they just like Baby Metal. You get the Crystal Lake fans, they just like Crystal Lake or Cold Rain or that kind of scene, and they don't really care about the other stuff. It seems to be that kind of way. And you get the ones who are just into Vocaloid. That's all they listen to is Vocaloid or just Idol. And that's it. So it's kind of, for me, it's been the same always. Apart from now there's like Baby Metal, which is a big scene behind it, but they're not really interested in other Japanese stuff, mostly. I don't know, it's just my opinion on it, but for me, it feels the same as it has since I've been doing it from like 5 years ago. But the media attention is greater, but sales seem to be the same.
But how do you think this happened? I mean, like, for example, myself, because I'm very interested in the Western bands. So if I want to, find like new bands, Western bands, then I try to listen to like a whole bands. Which could be famous in America or in this country first,
yeah.
But like you said, like most of the people are just like how to say, like they just like this, like only one band. But
yeah.
How they can find Japanese bands like that?
I think stuff like Baby Metal goes viral really quick. So I remember when that first, I mean, another event I do, the Japan Underground. I also do this event called Japan Underground. We was getting requests for Baby Metal years ago before they hit off big over here.
That's interesting.
And probably about a year or two before they got big. And so I knew about them for a long time, and no one was really interested outside of the little niche of the amount of people who used to come to the event would like always request like some songs. And then suddenly they did the Budokan show and Metal Hammer covered it and Kerrang covered it. And just from then, it's just exploded and everyone's sharing the video of Gimme Chocolate and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I think people saw it even if they didn't want to. Like, people were sharing it on Facebook, like, check out this like, crazy Japanese band.
Oh, okay.
So for them, it kind of went that way. And then with, like, Crossfaith, I guess it's just, like, natural way. They were just here, like, again, every year. Just every, like, two or three tours a year, playing with, like, local metal bands and American metal bands. And people were just like, oh, yeah, I saw this Japanese band playing with, like, my favourite American band the other day. They're pretty cool. Start checking them out that way. So I think it's a bit different than the like otaku market where everyone just sort of shares it on like, it used to be LiveJournal, they'd all share like illegal download links on their favorite songs and stuff and that kind of thing. So it's all different fandoms, different scenes all coming together, I guess.
Wow, I didn't know that actually.
But yeah, I think internet and media is the main one. Without no internet, there'd be no scene.
So you're saying like Of course, the Japanese music industry tried to promote Japanese musicians to overseas more and more recently, but then you think like just people try to introduce Japanese bands to their own country more through SNS.
I think the fans are the ones first. Like even Carrie Pamu Pamu, I remember people were requesting her songs at Japan Underground before she even released like any proper singles in Japan that people were like singing. And I remember people here were getting really big behind it, and in Japan she was still like unknown, and then suddenly just like whoosh. So I think the kids here who are into that stuff, they can tell what's going to be popular, I guess. I don't know. But this is how I always used to gauge what I'd sign or what I'd try and look after. Was when I DJ, people would ask me for certain songs, and if they keep requesting like certain bands, you sort of knew this is going to be big soon. And it always happened. Baby Metal happened, and Carrie Pam Pam happened, because they're always requesting them kind of songs. Yeah,
that's
kind of cool.
Very interesting for me, because still Japanese people are believing that they need promoters or like they need to belong like a level, like a really huge level,
yeah,
to promote themselves. But actually, you think so? They can promote themselves through internet or?
Right, I think it depends on the sound. So the good bands that appeal to like Western audiences, if the sound is good, then people are going to share it and it's going to be good. And I've noticed that the ones that Japan is often promoting are often terrible bands. I mean, they're not terrible bands, but for like a Western ear, it's like, what is this? This is kind of boring. The melody's too safe and la 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 la. There's nothing exciting about behind it. It's just too Japanese pop style. It's not, it doesn't really have an impact, I think. So I think the bands that we do like are the extreme ones because they've got like an impact. Even in the old days, like Mad Capture Markets, we knew them because they were just extreme, they're crazy, sound was like a fresh kind of cool sound. Where you don't get bands like, I can't see Second Action ever being popular in England because their sound's very just, like, in my opinion, Japanese Coldplay kind of style. Very safe and...
Very safe, yeah, that's true.
I mean, they're good, they're great bands,
they're good,
but
yeah.
I can't see that kind of sound being popular here unless someone's going to pay millions in advertising and getting their name out there, otherwise that would be difficult, I think.
That is really interesting. Oh my god, I'm having so much fun now. Okay, I'm going to talk about that more and more later, but today's second song I have to play first. Okay, this song is called Where is David Boy? Oh my god. From No Cars. Enjoy it.
Go to see David Boy, but he's not here. Where the fuck is he? Where's the boy? Where's the boy? Where's my David Boy? So I was depressed for a long, long time because of no boy. Where the fuck is he? Where's the boy? Where's the boy? Where's my David Boy? David Boy に会いにロンドンに来たんですけど。Years ago to see that boy, but he's not here. Where the fuck is he? Where's the boy? Where's the man? Where's the man? David Boy. I thought I was depressed for a long, long time cause of no boy. Where the fuck is he? Where's the boy? Where's the boy? Where's the man? David Boy.
Yeah, listen to Fashion Radio, and that was No Cars with Where is David Boy. So, Tom.
Hello.
Hi. Well, okay, this is, I think, a popular story that why you, got into Japanese culture or Japanese music. So, could you tell me why? What was the first time, what was the first thing that impressed you
with Japanese music.
Yes, yeah.
I think I was still in high school, and there was like a file sharing website called Kazaa, which was like a peer-to-peer file sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just typed in just Japanese goth music to see what I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And I found Glay and Malice Mizer and great, all them kind of bands. I was like, whoa. So yeah, I was really impressed by Glay first of all. I got an orchestral album by accident. I didn't realise it was orchestral. Mm-hmm. And it was like all their hits after that time, for the first like two albums were just like orchestra style. And there was an orchestra version of a song called Kanojo no Modern. I was like, this is amazing. And then I heard like the proper Japanese version of it, like the proper version they released. And I was like, oh, this is amazing too. So I just sort of got into it that way.
Oh.
And then I started importing from eBay and other stuff to get the CDs. And just sort of, yeah, it kind of grew from there. And then I found Gazette, like their early stuff, when they were kicking off. That's when I really got into like the metal scene of Japan, or Visual K, but a bit metal, whatever. Darren Gray and that kind of thing. Yeah, so that all happened. And I was like, after that time, I was at a job and I was writing in my part time for some magazines, mm-hmm. like Japan related magazines. And Darren Gray had come to England for the first time and the show had sold out. We were like, no promotion. And I had to do a second day, which also sold out with no promotion at all.
Wow.
And there was like, I remember I went to the gig and we got there early to get food and the queue was massive.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd start like interviewing the people in the queue for the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been there for like a week. Just to get in front of their favourite member, because they were so excited about the band coming. And I was like, oh my god. And I was like shocked there's no other journalists there like covering this. So then after that, I've just decided myself, I was just start going to the Japanese shows and see the fandom and see how it is from there and report on it back. So then the next one was Polysix, and that was pretty mad. And then the band that really sort of got me the job on the magazine full time was a band called Antic Cafe.
Yeah.
They were kind of weird, and I remember the same label as not the same label as Polysix, but they belonged to Sony in Japan at that time. So I was already in contact with Sony because of the Polysix stuff we were doing. And then they were like, this other band's coming from Japan. They sent me some pictures, and I was like, what the hell is this? It's like just like, crazy hair and like colorful outfits. And I was like, oh, this doesn't look good, but I'll go along and check it out. And I really didn't want to do it, and I had to interview them, and they were kind of shy and nervous, and they didn't really talk much. I was like, this is terrible. So I did this really, like, I wasn't very happy with it, but like a feature on them in the magazine. And it went mental. All the fans that read the magazine just started writing in letters saying, this is amazing, we love this band.
Oh,
we want more stuff like this. And I was like, whoa. Because my boss just said, right, you can do like Japanese features every issue. Like an interview and then news as well from Japanese music. So since then, I got really into like the heart of the fandom by accident, really. And because of that, that's how I made JP Records in Japan Underground. So I realized that people do actually care about Japanese music. Yeah, it's kind of chance. And Antic Cafe. So yeah. Thank you.
I see. But I mean, like, why? I mean, like, you told me like a straight, second action.
Yeah.
Like you said. They are very popular in Japan and they sound really good, but they can't be popular in this country.
I think
so.
Not, yeah.
It doesn't mean like, you know, like a popular band in Japan can be very popular in this country as well.
Mm.
But what was the, how do you say, how, why Gray was so special for you? Like
Darren Gray?
No, Glay.
Oh, Glay. Glay was like, it came at a time when I was really bored with music in England.
Mm.
So I had like my bands that I loved, and that time I was really into like At The Drive-In, and they just broke up. I was into Idlewild and Feeder, and they're just going through their boring phases. Like, I used to love their early stuff, and suddenly they're doing all this like really mellow stuff, and I was getting bored, so I was like, I need to find some new music.
Mm.
And I just found it by chance, and like Glay, I think for me, it was like guitar solos and stuff. So I really connected with Hisashi, the guitarist in that, and I thought, wow, we don't have bands like that anymore. It reminds me of like glam scene from a few years ago, like made but modern style, and we don't have that. And when we do, it's kind of like cheesy style, like The Darkness or Steel Panther, where it's not kind of like pop with guitar solos. You never hear that anymore. So yeah, I enjoyed it that way. It was kind of fun riffs. Didn't know what they were singing about, which made it kind of exotic and interesting. Yeah.
I
really hate when I find out the meaning of the lyrics and they're terrible meaning. I'm like, oh, this is disappointing. It's best not knowing, I think, sometimes.
See, so like even you didn't know about Japanese. I mean, like you didn't speak Japanese, and you didn't care about the lyrics.
Yeah, even now I can't speak Japanese. Don't care about lyrics. It's just the sound and the feeling, and for some of the bands, the power behind it.
Mm. Okay, I see. But how about like a recent like a popular band such as Curse Face and Coldrain? I mean, like it's because I like a hardcore metal band, so I just want to focus on these two guys. And but I think they sound like American bands, like a really, how to say, quite popular, like a typical sound, I think.
Yeah.
But they got really popular in this country.
So yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think the thing with them, they're not shy to do what they want and what they think is cool.
Mm.
Where, to be honest, if I'd have heard an English or American band doing some of the stuff they were doing at the start, I think we'd be really critical of it here. We'd be like, what are you guys doing? This isn't real hardcore. This is too pop. And I can't see it really flourishing. But they came at it with such a force and confidence and production behind it that it just kind of worked. So I think they were lucky being in the Japan scene. So I noticed when I'm in Japan, I go to like the local gigs of these kind of bands.
Yeah.
They all sound the same. Not they don't sound the same, but they've got that similar sudden dubstep drop, and then the electronic bits. It doesn't happen here. So I think they could grow in the little bit in Japan and they get good and then come over here. Where I think that natural progression just will get killed instantly here.
Mm.
I think. And this is like Enoshikari. There are a few that do it, but it doesn't really work too much. Even Enoshikari, I think Enoshikari and them kind of bands are more, they mix like drum and bass or the grime even, and some of the African influenced scene, where with Crystal Lake and Crossfaith, I don't see that kind of influence. I see it more like they're listening to like Skrillex and like modern stuff, where I think it's just different the way it's evolved, if that makes any sense.
Okay, I see. So, I don't know, it's because Japanese culture, or because they're from Japan, so they could create really good sounds or songs.
Yeah, like I think the music scene is really judgmental, especially metal fans. I don't know about Japanese metal fans, but Western metal fans are really unaccepting of new stuff. They'd be like, "This is not real metal." I think it's stuff like Crossfaith from its beginning will just get killed straight away. No one will go to the show. They'd be like, "This isn't." They wouldn't feel this is real metal, I think.
Mm.
So they wouldn't get a chance to progress in the same way, perhaps. But I don't know, this is kind of my opinion.
Mm.
I mean, when I used to be in a band years ago, and we used to do like local gigs with metal bands, and we were the only one that wasn't like the same metal as everyone else.
Mm.
And because we were a little bit different, people were really judgmental. So they come there, they want the really hardcore stuff, they want this, they want that. And if anything different, it kind of just doesn't get accepted too well.
Mm. So could you tell me, there is like a pop, like some person who like pop music, but suddenly that they found like a new band metal, but like these pop fans suddenly got into this metal band because they sound not like a typical metal, but sounds a bit pop. So usually these people just listen to pop music, but
crossover.
Yeah, right. Do you think that possible, or is it happening?
With Japanese music, or
anything?
I think like Bring Me the Horizon, the perfect example.
Yeah.
So like, the new
I
album.
I want to know that. Tell me more.
I loved Sempiternal. That's an amazing album.
Yeah, it was.
And then the new one came out, and I don't know. For me, it was like, oh, okay, because I've been. They were a band that were around when I was in the band years ago, and I remember seeing them with the scream and stuff, like, whoa, these guys are just insane.
Mm.
It's the noise, and it's just really aggressive. And every album seems to, that's been petered out a little, getting more mainstream. So yeah, now the new one is just, it doesn't sound like Bring Me the Horizon. It doesn't sound like metal. I don't want to be just like disrespectful, but it sounds like One Direction with electric guitars behind them. It's that kind of, they've got the hook, they know where the chorus is, they know where this is, and that aggression's, I don't know, for me it's gone. And I've read like interviews with them, like Ollie and the guitarist talking about how, of course, they haven't got the aggression they had as teenagers, now they're married and stuff, but
yeah,
that's how I feel now. And that album too was the first album from them that wasn't in the metal charts.
Mm.
It was in the rock charts now instead of metal. So yeah, they know themselves that they're not metal anymore. They are rock, and rock is really just pop. So that's what happens, I think. And people can get into that, and I think they've got a lot of new fans now because like, they're doing massive shows in England now.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Oh my God.
Well, what did you think?
I feel like exactly the same. I still like them, though.
Yeah, yeah, it looks good. It sounds good.
Yeah, I just, you know, when I heard that sort of spirit first time, I just thought about Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Hybrid Theory. So yeah. They just exactly, not exactly the same, but they sounded like a Linkin Park. And then I am so into Linkin Park since I was little. So, like, yeah, I really like their, like, a new style as well. But then I understand they are not bringing me the horizon anymore. They don't sound same like before. So, yeah. And then I think, I don't know, it's because of the internet, people are like more, it's so easy to listen to music on the internet recently. So people are more like open to music, and even they don't buy CDs anymore.
Yeah.
So like pop, like fans listen to rock music, and then rock fans listen to pop music as well, like, you know, that kind of thing is happening. So band or artist try to make, like, how to say, like a combination with rock and pop music,
yeah,
or like a metal
crossover to maximum audience.
Exactly.
And Bring Me the Horizon too, they were a band that I didn't like for a long time. Like, I really disliked them. And they were just like, not spam, but they were just everywhere before Step Eternal came out. Any YouTube video, if you're in England and if you're a rock fan, any YouTube video you try watching, they'd have their video beforehand as an advert for Step Eternal again and again and again and again. I was like, oh, bloody Bring Me the Horizon, skip, skip, mute. And then you just end up hearing it. I was like, oh, it's actually good. And I think that was, like you were saying earlier, can Japanese bands get big in England? So they have to have a big promotion behind them. I mean, Bring Me the Horizon, they had the promotion behind them at Step Eternal stage, just plowing loads of money. Just loads, non-stop, online, I couldn't avoid them, no matter what I did, their music was just there all the time, and you couldn't skip it was just playing and playing, it's like, oh, bloody hell. So I think they're just getting loads of money chucked at them, and now they're getting the benefits because it's paid off and they're getting big.
Yeah.
So that is another way of making bands big, just chucking loads of money at it, and people just end up listening to it and they have to like it, I think.
Oh.
So that could work for Second Action, if they want to come over here, chuck a few million in advertising.
Maybe.
Non-stop YouTube adverts, and you never know.
But you can't, of course, you can't tell that which way could be better, or like, I mean, like, promote themselves on the internet without money, or if you pay a lot of money, then obviously they're gonna be very promoted and advertised.
Yeah.
But you can't, of course, you can't tell which is better, right?
It depends on the sound and which audience they want to go for. And you can't get anywhere really without spending money. Like, even magazines won't write about you unless you buy an advert, and adverts are expensive. So yeah, these days it's really difficult.
Right, okay, so what do you think, how Japanese musicians should be, like, should try to promote themselves?
I think they should copy Crossfade. Just come over and play with local bands. Don't do yours, I feel really bad, don't do the one-man show. I hate when bands from Japan come here and do a one-man show and they're all happy with themselves, but the venue's like half empty.
Yeah.
If they had like a support band, or even if they were a support band for a bigger band, which is what Crossfade's been doing for the last few years in England, and now they're at a massive stage where they can do a one-man show if they wanted to, but they don't. They always do it with other bands, because it's just, this is the way music culture grows in England, I think. And I think it's too cocky to do a one-man show, and it's... Yeah, I always get upset that there's no support bands for Japanese bands, and they are very rarely support bands for other bands.
Yeah, that is true. That's great to hear. Good example from him, because, yeah, I really believe that in Japanese bands or like artists should come over here more often.
Yeah.
So that other people can see them like live.
Yeah.
And that could be the best promotion.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
In Vamps are doing it too. So they're on tour. I think they just finished recently, last month or December it might have been, with Apocalyptica. They toured UK, and I think they toured Europe maybe, I'm not too sure about that. But it was good that they're touring with a band and they're the opening act for them, and it gets them into the right, new people can hear the music. I think that's the important thing, seeing a band live, hearing it. I mean, I used to really dislike Duran Gray too. Like, the CDs I listened to, I was like, why do people like this? I don't get it, it's kind of weird. Then you saw them live, I was like, oh, okay, the live kind of made the CD feel more active, I think. So seeing a band live is important. And if you do the one-man shows with like £60 tickets, no one knew's going to see them.
Yeah,
it's going to stay the same audience like forever, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. we're gonna try to bring Japanese mom here.
Good luck.
Thank you. Right, okay, Tomo, sorry, this is the time. Okay. It was really fun and it was really my pleasure to have you here.
My pleasure to be here, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So, hope to talk to you soon more.
Yeah, yeah,
on
definitely.
On the radio show, maybe.
Be fun.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much, Tomo.
Thank you, thank you.
So we had a Tom Smith from JPU Records today. That was like my dream. So I'm so happy that he came for us today. It was quite, you know, professional conversation. Because we are usually like a very easygoing and like talk about the silly stuff. So it was really fun. Okay, so this Russian radio show is broadcasted on every Tuesday and Thursday. On Tuesday we speak in Japanese and Thursday we speak in English. We talk in Japanese version as well, so please check it later as well. Right, okay, thank you for listening. Bye.